This week's parsha is Parshas Vayakel and Pekudei, but we are going to focus our shir on Parshas Vayakel on chapter 38, verse number 8. Here in Parshas Vayakel, the Torah is relating how Bezalel did the vessels of the tabernacle, and here in verse number 8, we are relating how Bezalel did the kior, the laver. The kior was the vessel from which the Kohanim washed their hand in their feet when they would enter to make the service. It was done as a huge water urn. And here on Pasuk number 8, it says, Vayas es ha-kior nechoshes, and he made the laver of copper, veskanoi nechoshes, and its base of copper, bemarois ha-tzovois. This is a very hard word to interpret, but the normal interpretation is in the mirrors of the lesions, and we are going to try to explain what that means. And the apostle continues and says, "Asher tzavu Pesach Oel Moed," that they amassed at the door of the tent of meeting. We have to understand who amassed and what is amassed at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Before we explain Rashi's interpretation and other Mefarshim's interpretation regarding this verse, we are going to first explain some oddities regarding the kior. The kior is, as we mentioned, a large urn where the water was put in order for the Kohanim to wash their hands and feet prior of coming to do the service in the tabernacle or in the Beis HaMikdash. But even though the kior is part of the vessels of the tabernacle, and it's a vessel that's essential in the tabernacle, because if you do not wash your hands and feet from the kior, then you are liable for death, meaning that the Kohanim will die. There is a problem where the law to make the kior and the specifications of the kior is mentioned, meaning that all the vessels of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, are mentioned either in Parshas Truma and in Parshas Tetzaveh. But none of them are mentioned in Parshas Kisisa, only the kior, meaning that after everything is complete, the Torah decides to write the law of making the kior in Parshas Kisisa on chapter 30, verse number 17 to verse number 21. The question is, why in fact didn't Hashem put the kior next to the other vessels of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle? Why did Hashem decide to put the kior in that location? It would be more appropriate to put amongst the other vessels of the tabernacle. The Rabbeinu Bechaya explains that the Torah wanted to put specifically the kior next to the parsha of Shkolim, because since Shkolim, the half shekel that the people give, is for charity, and we know that because of the merit of charity, the rain is abundant, and if you don't give charity, then you have a hunger. As the Gemara in Tainus, Daf Ches, number 8, says, Einak shomim netzorim, that the rain only stops, elo bishvil poiske tzedoke barabim veinoisim, only because people promise to give charity publicly and they do not give, meaning when there is an appeal, they promise they are going to give money and they don't give. Therefore, Hashem makes that the rain will stop, that your parnasa, your livelihood, will diminish. Therefore, the Torah wanted specifically to put together the waters of the kior to connect that to the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, which is referring to the machzor shekel, the half a shekel that you had to give as a donation to Hashem, to tell you that if you don't give the charity, then you are not going to have the waters. The Cheskuni gives the simple answer that since all the vessels mentioned in Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh are part of the Avodah, part of the service in the tabernacle, meaning that they are actually used for the service itself of the tabernacle, as the menorah is used for the candles, the shulchan is used for the bread, but here the kior is used to put water, but this water is not used for the service of the temple. This water is only a preparatory part for the service of the temple. It's a hana, preparation for the service of the temple, because you are required to wash your hands before you do the service when you come into the tabernacle. Therefore, the kiyor is separate for you to know that this is only a preparatory part for the service of the tabernacle, but it's not actually a vessel of service in the tabernacle. The other odd thing regarding the kiyor, the lever, is that when Hashem commanded us to do a lever, Hashem did not give us any dimensions of how to do it. All other vessels, Hashem gave us dimensions. For example, the Mizbeach Hazav, the golden Mizbeach, the inside altar, Hashem told us to make 1 cubit by 1 cubit at the height of 2 cubits. The Aron, the Ark, had dimensions. The Shulchan, the table, also had dimensions. So too, all the vessels had dimensions, but the Kiyor, the lever, somehow did not have any dimensions. Hashem just tells us to make a kiyor, to make a lever, without telling us how to make it. Question is, why didn't it have any dimensions? Another question is that it's not mentioned how we carried the kiyor, the lever. All the other vessels had badim, they had poles with which we carried them. The shulchan, the table, had poles that we carried them with. The Aron, the Ark, had poles that we carried them with. The Mizbeach Apnimi, the inside altar, had poles that we carried them with. But yet, the lever, it's not mentioned that we carried them with any poles. Then how did we carry them? In truth, we could have said that the lever wasn't such a huge vessel, meaning that since the kiyor that was in the Mishkan, it's written in Masechta Yuma, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph 37a, that it only had 2 spouts coming out of it, meaning they had 2 places where the Kohanim could wash their feet in their hand, and eventually in the Beis HaMikdash, when Katan did a lever that had 12 spouts in order that 12 Kohanim should wash their feet and hand at the same time. So if only 2 Kohanim wash their hands, then theoretically you don't need a lot of water. And as a matter of fact, the Rambam in Perek Hey from Bias HaMikdash, Aloch Yud Gimel, writes down that the kiyor cannot have less water that it requires for 4 Kohanim to wash their hand, because it's written in Shemos chapter 30, verse number 19, Verachtzu Aharon Ivanov, that Aharon and his children should wash their hands. So Aharon is one, and his children, which were eligible to do the service, were Elazar, Isamar, and Pinchas, therefore required to have water for 4 Kohanim. So theoretically you could say that the kiyor wasn't a large vessel, because it only requires to have water for 4 Kohanim to wash their hand and feet. Therefore, there wasn't a necessity for poles, because you could just lift it up and carry it anywhere that you needed to. But we will see later in our shir that the kiyor was actually a very big vessel. Then the question is, if it was such a big vessel, why didn't the Torah tell us to carry the kiyor with poles? How else are we going to carry it if not with poles? As a side note, the case of Mishnah on that Rambam that says that the kiyor had to have water for Aharon and his 3 sons, Elazar, Isamar, and grandson Pinchas, the case of Mishnah asks if the meaning of the pasuk is that Aharon and all the children that are going to be eligible to do the service should wash, and from there you learn how much water you should have on the lever, on the kiyor, because it's Aharon, Elazar, Isamar, and Pinchas, then why aren't we supposed to have enough water in the kiyor in order to wash 6 Kohanim? Meaning, at this juncture, Nadav Avihu are still alive. When the commandment to make the kiyor was given, Hashem said that Aharon and his children should wash their hands and feet, and at this point, Nadav and Avihu are still alive. They are going to die on the inauguration of the tabernacle on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This commandment to make the kiyor was given before that time. Then, since they are alive, and Hashem said that Aharon and his children should do it, then we have six people. Because we have Aharon, we have Nadav, Vaviu, Elazar, and Isamar, and Pinchas. Therefore, we should have enough water for six Kohanim to wash their hand and feet. In truth, Rashi on Zvachim, Daf Yutes, brings the idea that you have to have enough water for four Kohanim, not from this pasuk that we mentioned in Parshas Kisisa, but from the pasuk in Parshas Pekudei, chapter 40, verse number 31. The verse there says that we made the kiyor and we put the kiyor between the Ohel Moed Mizbeach and we put in the kiyor water. And then the pasuk says, "Verachatzu mimenu Moshe v'Aharon uvanov," that from the kiyor Moshe and Aharon and his children should wash as yedeyem v'esragleyem, their hand in the feet. So Rashi says that Moshe is one, Aharon is two, and vanov and his children, since it's written the plural and we know that the minimum plural is two, anytime you write something in a plural you are required to have at least two, therefore we know that four Kohanim are required to wash their hands from the kiyor, that the kiyor is required to have water for four Kohanim to wash their hand, because it's written Moshe, Aharon, and his children. And not from the source that the Rambam brings, but from this source that's written in Parshas Pekudei. Another interesting thing regarding the kiyor that we are going to have to explain is that the Gemara in Ayuma Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph says that Ban Kotin did something else. He did a pulley system that lowered the kiyor into the well underground in order for the waters not to be invalidated with lina, with staying overnight. Meaning that the rule is that anything that's consecrated in a vessel, if it stays overnight, it becomes disqualified, becomes possible. Belina becomes disqualified by staying overnight, and the kiyor is a vessel in which you put water, then that water becomes sanctified. And if you had any remaining water in the kiyor, that water would become invalidated. Therefore, Ben Katin established a pulley system that lowered the kiyor into a well, and then the waters became connected to the well. Like that, they didn't become invalidated with lina, with staying overnight. The question is, how did they deal with this problem in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle? Meaning, we had the tabernacle in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. How did they make it that the waters in the kiyor should not be invalidated by lina, by staying overnight? The simple answer we could say is that they put exactly enough water for the Kohanim to wash their hands and feet, that they measured that there shouldn't be any excess water. Therefore, there is no water to be invalidated with lina, with staying overnight. But we will see soon from Rav Sarotskin in his Sefer Oznai LaTorah how they dealt with this problem. Regarding of why Hashem commanded us to wash our hands and feet, there is a very simple answer from the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachya, which the Ramban says that since the hand are always moving around, Yodayim Askonir's hand, then it's possible that you touch something dirty and therefore it would not be proper to do the service of Hashem with dirty hands. And also regarding the feet, he says that since the Kohanim walked barefoot, therefore the feet were dirty, so they require to wash in order to clean off their hand and feet. But the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachya continue that al derech emes, that through Kabbalah, there is a deeper meaning in the Kohanim washing their hand and feet. And he explains that we know that there is 10 sefirot, 10 emanations of Hashem. They are chesed, kindness, gevura, severity or strength, tiferes, beauty, netzach, victory or eternity, hod, splendor, yesod, foundation, malchus, kingship. And then we have chokhmah, wisdom, bina, understanding, and either das, knowledge, or the upper one, which is Keter, crown. But nonetheless, there are 10 emanations of Hashem, and we also have 10 fingers, and we have 10 toes. And when we raise our fingers, that is higher than the head of a person, and the toes are at the bottom of a person. That means that the person itself is between the 10 sefirot at the head, represented by the fingers, and the 10 sefirot represented by the toe at the bottom. Therefore, the Kohen, when he is coming to serve, he has to know that he is getting the holiness of the 10 sefirot. Therefore, he is required to wash his hand in order to understand that he is being sanctified with the 10 sefirot, with the 10 emanations of Hashem. That is why the Targum Unculus, when it says Verachtu, instead of translating washing, the Targum Unculus lies down Veyekachun, and they should sanctify. Because the idea of washing your hand is in order to sanctify yourself for the service of Hashem. And according to the Ramban and Rabbi Bachya, it means that you are being sanctified with the holiness of the 10 emanations of Hashem. And Rabbi Bachya continues that this is the reason why the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Tezvav, Amud Aleph, 15a, and also the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Beis, says that you're supposed to wash your hand before you are going to pray, because you are supposed to elevate yourself to accept the 10 sefirot, the 10 emanations of Hashem. We are soon going to give a different reason why the Kohanim are required to wash the hand before they come to do the service. But going back to our topic, the Pasuk here says that they made the kior of copper and the base of copper, bemarois atzovois, with the mirrors of the legions. Rashi explains what does it mean, the mirrors of the legions. Rashi says that these are the mirrors that caused all the legions of the Jewish people. Rashi explains that women looked at these mirrors every morning to beautify themselves, and even though they used it every morning to beautify themselves, they still decided that they are going to bring these mirrors for the tabernacle. Meaning when Hashem asked for donations for the tabernacle, then these women decided to bring these mirrors as a donation to the tabernacle. Moshe Rabbeinu despised this gift and rejected it, because Moshe Rabbeinu thought that since this gift, these mirrors, are used to bring the evil inclination of a person, because a person looks at the mirror and he gets a little haughty and he beautifies himself and he entices others. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu rejected this gift, until Hashem Yisborach said that this gift is more important for me than all the other donations that is in the tabernacle. Why? Because only through these mirrors were able to have these legions, meaning this many people coming out of Egypt. Rashi explains that since the men were working very hard and the men were not in the mood to having any intimacy because they were exhausted, but these women, they used to come out to the fields and they used to feed and give to drink to their husbands. And then they used to take out those mirrors, and then they used to view themselves and their husbands in the mirror, and they used to entice them with the words by saying, "Ani noem imcha," I am more beautiful than you. That is the simple interpretation, which I really didn't understand. What does it mean that I am more beautiful than you? But you could translate as they were saying, "Ani noe, I am beautiful, mimcha, only because of you," meaning because you are working so hard, that's why it allows me to become so beautiful. Then the man used to have desire, and then they used to have relations, and then they used to become pregnant and used to give birth. And that is the meaning what's written in Shir HaShirim chapter 8, verse number 5, Tachas atapuach oyarticha, under the apple tree I aroused you. And this is the meaning of the words Marois Hatzavois, because this is the mirrors of those who caused this great congregation. And Rashi continues and says that since the mirror were done from these women who wanted and desired to have relations with their husband, therefore, when Asota, a woman that the husband suspects that she committed adultery, will drink from the waters of the Kior, like that, the Kior again, which was made from those mirrors, will bring shalom, harmony, between husband and wife. That since originally the mirrors brought harmony between husband and wife, therefore also the Kior, which is done with those mirrors, have the segula, have the strength to bring harmony between husband and wife, when the woman will drink the waters of the Sota and she'll be found innocent, then the relationship between husband and wife will be strengthened. And Rashi says that as proof that the copper donated by the people were not put in the Kior and only the mirrors were put in the Kior is from Parshas Pekudei, because later on in chapter 29 verse 31 says everything that was manufactured by the copper, and yet the Kior and Kanoi, the Kior and the base, is not mentioned. From here you see that the Kior and the base were done by the mirrors of these women. And Rashi says that Kach motzisi berab tanchuma, so I found in Medrash Tanchuma. I went to check it out, and that is Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Pekudei, Simen Tes. But there, the Medrash Tanchuma explains a little bit differently. The Medrash Tanchuma says that once Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to make the Mishkan, all the Jewish people went ahead and they donated gold and silver, or copper, Avnei Shoham Memeluim, and they bought it quickly. The women said, what should we give to the tabernacle? They came and they brought their mirrors to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu became very upset, and the Medrash says that he told the Jewish people, Tulu Maklois, take sticks, the Shivru Shekem Shaleilu, and break the hips of these women, because why do we need mirrors in the Mishkan? Then Hashem said, why embarrassing the women? These mirrors are the ones that made all these legions come out of Egypt. And Hashem said, take from them and make a kior nechoishes for the Kohanim, that from there the Kohanim will wash their hand. Meaning that only after the women brought, Hashem decided to make a lever out of that. I wanted to say that this Medrash Tanchuma could answer the question why the Kior is written separately in Parshas Kisisa. Meaning that since according to this Medrash Tanchuma, Hashem only decided to make a Kior after he received the mirrors of the women, meaning originally Hashem did not tell Moshe Rabbeinu to fashion a Kior, but only after he received the mirrors of the women, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, take the mirrors and fashion the Kior out of them. That means that this wasn't originally in the Mishkan's, in the tabernacle's design, that it was only done afterwards. Therefore, to emphasize the point that this was only done in the merit of the women, Hashem put this idea of Kior separately, because it wasn't in the original design of the Mishkan, it only came about after the women brought the mirrors, and Hashem told them to use these mirrors for the Kohanim to wash their hand and feet. When I was reading the Medrash Tanchuma, it bothered me that the Medrash Tanchuma seemed to contradict a pasuk in Shemos chapter 35, verse number 22. Because the Medrash Tanchuma said that the women did not have anything to donate, therefore they decided that they are going to donate the mirrors. But the pasuk clearly says, "Vayavoyu anoshim anoshim," that the men came along with the women, "Koyinu divlev," anybody who is generous at heart, "Heviu," they brought "Choch," which is translated as an armband, "Venezem," and a nose ring, the tabas and a finger ring, the kumas, and Rashi translates kumas is a golden implement placed over the private parts of a woman. And the Gemara in Shabbos 64a says that kumas is the acronym kan makom zima, that here is a place for lewdness. Mostly they translate as a chastity belt. So we see that the women did donate things for the Mishkan. Then how can the Medrash Tanchuma say that they didn't donate anything for the tabernacle, therefore they donated their mirrors? I wanted to answer this Medrash Tanchuma by saying that clearly the women gave gifts to the Mishkan, as it's written in the Pasuk, because the Pasuk clearly says that they gave these personal items to the Mishkan. But the question is, where did they get these personal items from? Meaning that these personal items that's written in the Pasuk that the women gave, for the women themselves, this wasn't considered much giving, because these items were the items that they took from the Egyptians. Either they took from the Egyptians when Hashem asked them to borrow vessels of gold and silver from their neighbors before they left Egypt, and the Egyptians gave them those vessels, or they took these vessels as spoils from the sea. After the Egyptians drowned, there was wealth around the sea, and the women took the spoils, and these items that they donated to the tabernacle were part of these spoils. Therefore, since Hashem just gave them these gifts, the gifts in Egypt and the gifts from the spoils of the sea, the women, even though they gave these gifts to the tabernacle, did not view as they are giving anything special towards the tabernacle, towards Hashem, because those things they received as a gift from Hashem, it wasn't theirs to begin with. Therefore, they said that we didn't bring anything to the Mishkan, meaning we didn't bring anything personally from the Mishkan. Nothing that was ours from before we brought to the Mishkan. Therefore, they decided that they are going to bring those mirrors that they previously had in Egypt, and they are going to bring this as donation to the Mishkan. And this is what the Medrash Tanchuma means to say. Not that they didn't donate anything to the Mishkan, clearly they did, but they didn't donate anything of their own. And since they donated, the mirrors Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to take until Hashem told them to take those mirrors. The Ramban asks a very strong question. The Ramban asks why, when it came to receive the mirror, Moshe Rabbeinu was angry because the mirror brings the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, and yet the pasuk that we mentioned, when the women donated the kumas, which was a chastity belt, which was a covering for the intimate parts of the women, Moshe Rabbeinu does not even bat his eye and he takes the donation from the women. You would think that Moshe Rabbeinu would not want to take an item that clearly is involved with the evil inclination. The Ramban explains that since the kumas was made of gold, that gold was melted, and since it was melted, then it lost its shape, and also besides losing its shape, it was mixed in with other items of gold, then you could not tell that it was originally a kumas. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided that he could take the kumas, because the kumas is going to be destroyed in a way, and nobody will know that it was ever there, therefore he could use that for the tabernacle. But since the mirrors were installed intact in the Kior, everybody could see the mirrors in the Kior, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu objected for the women bringing the mirrors to the Kior until Hashem told them that he should take, because those mirrors were used for a mitzvah, for the service of Hashem. Another answer that I saw is that the question isn't even a question, meaning that since we mentioned that the kumas was something designed to cover the intimate part of the women, and we mentioned that it was a chastity belt, true that it is something that involves the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara, but quite opposite, it's something that it's made to block the Yetzer Hara, to block the evil inclination. Meaning that since this is made to protect the women, that she shouldn't have relations, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu did not see any problem in taking the kumas, since the kumas is something that it's there anti-Yetzer Hara, anti-evil inclination. Therefore, he had no problem taking the kumas from the women, because that is designed to prevent intimate relations, to prevent the action if the evil inclination goes into a man. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had no problem taking the kumas as a donation. But the mirrors, which caused the women to become vain and caused the women to beautify themselves in order to have intimate relations, that bothered Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to take the mirrors from the women. Based on this Medrash Tanhuma, I wanted to answer what the Rabbeinu Bachya and the Ramban note that the Targum Unculus in Parshas Kisiso, where it mentions the Kiyorin, says they should wash their hand, and the Targum Unculus says Viskadoshu, they should sanctify their hand. And the Rabbeinu Bachya and the Ramban give a Kabbalistic interpretation, what does it mean to sanctify their hand. As we mentioned previously, I wanted to say, based on this Medrash Tanhuma, that it is a very simple interpretation, meaning that Rashi, in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, in Vayikra, chapter 19, verse number 2, where the verse says, Kedoshim tiyu, you should be holy, Rashi wants to understand what is holiness. What does it mean, be holy? Rashi notes that since the end of Achrimos, which is the parsha preceding Kedoshim, the Torah talks about the laws of immorality. Rashi says that every time you find somebody who separates himself from immorality, that person is called Kadosh, is called holy. Because when you separate yourself from immorality, that is when you are called a holy person. Therefore, since these mirrors were made to entice the husband and do the mitzvah of proper relationship, and they were not made to entice other people into doing immorality as Moshe Rabbeinu thought, therefore Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu that the Kohanim should sanctify themselves from these mirrors, because these mirrors are Kadoshim, they are holy. So with Kadoshu, not that they should wash their hands in the mirror, they should become sanctified from the mirror, because those mirrors are holy, since those mirrors did not cause immorality, quite opposite, they made peace between husband and wife, where they had proper relationships. Based on the idea that we mentioned previously, that the kiyor was taken from the mirrors of the women, then they were put in the kiyor intact, meaning that they were not melted away, that each woman saw her mirror in the kiyor. The Eben Ezra explains that this is the reason why the kiyor does not have any measurements, meaning that normally what you do is you make a box and you cover that box with mirrors. If you do that, then you'd have the measurement of the box. But here Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to take all the mirrors of the women and make from the mirrors of the women a kiyor, a lever. That means that the kiyor had every single mirror of every Jewish woman. Therefore, there was no measurements given to the kiyor, because the size of the kiyor was dependent of how many women gave the donations. Therefore, clearly, the kiyor was a very huge box, because every woman donated a mirror, and all the Jewish women donating a mirror makes out of the kiyor a huge box. Then the question that we mentioned earlier stands, that if the kiyor was such a huge urn, why doesn't the Torah tell me how to carry such a huge urn, that I'm required to have poles in order to carry this urn? Or how was it carried from place to place? Rav Sarotskin in Sefer Hazdaim LaTorah brings the Targum Unculus on this pasuk, which the Targum Unculus says, V'avat yaskior de nechosho. And he made the kior made of copper. V'yas basisayo de nechosho. And he made the base of copper. B'mechzias neshayo, with the mirrors of the women. The asyon etzalo, bisra mashkozimno, that came to pray at the tent of meeting. Which implies two things. One, that the women that came to pray the tent of meeting decided to donate their mirrors. And the question is, why did they donate their mirrors when they already previously donated different items, as it's written in the Pasuk, that the men came with the women, they donated all the jewelry, as it's written in chapter 35, verse number 22. And if you are going to say that due to the fact that they came to pray every day at the door of the oil moed, of the tent of meeting, that caused them to donate something extra, therefore they decided to donate the mirrors, why didn't the men get influenced in the same way? The men clearly also came to pray at the tent of meeting every day, and yet we don't find that the men donated something extra. Why did the women decide to donate something extra? What did they see that caused them to donate the mirrors? Sefer Osnaim LaTorah starts explaining this first based on Toisefta in Sukkah Perek Gimel Alocha Gimel, where the Toisefta there explains how the Be'er Shel Miriam, how the well of Miriam worked. The Toisefta explains that the well of Miriam used to follow the Jewish people. If they went up a mountain, then the well of Miriam went up the mountain. If they came down a valley, then the well of Miriam came down this valley. And the well looked like a rock, which had a lot of holes like a sieve. And when the Jewish people rested, then the well, the rock, came in front of the oil moed tent of meeting. The Jewish people sang Shira, or they prayed at the well. Then the water used to bubble up from the well like a fountain. And that was the Be'er Shel Miriam, the well of Miriam. The Tana Dvei Eliyahu in Perek Yud Beis writes down that when the Jewish people did not behave properly, when they weren't doing the will of Hashem, then even though they would pray in the well of Miriam, nonetheless the well would not give its water for 1, 2, 3, 4 hours until the children and the wise people came out and they said that the Be'er should go up in the merit of our forefathers Abraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov. And if still the Be'er would not give its water, then they would say that Ali Be'er, please go up well in the merit of Moshe, Aharon and Miriam, and then it would work. And the waters would come pouring out of the rock of the well. Sefer Osnaim LaTorah says that it is obvious that the first people that would find out that the waters of the well did not come up in the normal way would be the women. That since the women need water for cooking and for other things, they are the ones that are going to first find out about the well not giving its waters, and then they will see that the children and Talmid Chachamim come there, and when they say that let the well come up in the merit of Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam, then the well gave its waters, then they found out that the well came in the merit of Miriam, meaning the women figured out that the well came in the merit of Miriam. As a matter of fact, we call it the well of Miriam because it came in the merit of Miriam. Then Sefer Osnaim LaTorah adds that since they also saw that the kior, which had the water in it, is put every night into the well of Miriam, because if you do not put in the well of Miriam, then the leftover waters in the kior will be disqualified for use because they were in a klishores, in a sanctified vessel overnight, then they used to sink the kior in the well of Miriam. And since the kior is made for water, then the women realized that the blessing on the water will come from the kior, in the same way that the blessing on Parnasa comes from the shulchan, from the table, and the Parnasa is the man. So the man came in the merit of Moshe, and the waters came in the merit of Miriam, then the waters of the Kior are associated and a symbol of the drinking waters that we are going to have. Therefore, the women associated the waters of the Kior with Miriam. Therefore, the women decided that the Kior has to be done with something that's totally from women. And therefore, they decided to donate to the Kior, because since the water came in the merit of Miriam, they wanted that the waters should always be in the merit of the righteous women, in the merit of the women of the desert. Therefore, because they came to the Ohel Moed to pray, they realized that the waters came in the merit of Miriam. Once they saw that the Kior has water and we put it in the well of Miriam at night in order not to disqualify its water by staying overnight, then they realized that the Kior means the blessing of the water. They wanted that the whole water should be in the merit of women. Therefore, they decided to donate their mirrors for the Kior. And according to this, Sefer Oznaim HaTorah says, we understand now why they didn't put any poles in the Kior. Because since the Kior was sung in the well of Miriam, then whenever they needed to travel, all they had to do is put the Kior in the well of Miriam. Automatically, that Kior would travel with them anywhere they needed to. And whenever they came to a place, they would take out the Kior from the well of Miriam and put it in its place. In the same way that the Be'er came to them everywhere, so too did the Kior come to them everywhere, because before they traveled, they used to sing the Kior in the well of Miriam in order not to disqualify its water. So therefore, there was no need to have poles to carry the Kior, because it traveled by itself. I wanted to finish this shiur with an idea of why, when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to take the mirrors, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, kabel, receive, ki elu chavivim olai min hakoyel, because these mirrors are the dearest of me of all, are more beloved to me than everything else. What is the meaning of that? I wanted to answer this based on the Gemara, that the Gemara explains the Shema, where it's written, v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, that you should love Hashem your God, b'chol levavcha, with all your heart. It's not written b'chol lipcha, with all your heart. It's written levavcha, which signifies that you should love Hashem with both inclinations, the good inclination and the evil inclination. It is always easy to love Hashem if your good inclination. The hard part is to cause even your evil inclination, the tool for bad, to love Hashem. And here, those women achieved that. These women were able to take those mirrors, which are a tool for the evil inclination. As a matter of fact, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to take those mirrors because they are usually a tool for evil inclination. But nonetheless, these women were able to change that and make out of these mirrors a tool for service of Hashem. Therefore, Hashem says that take these mirrors because the mirrors are more beloved to me than anything else. And therefore, Hashem told the Kohanim that before they come in to do the service in the tabernacle, they have to wash their hands from those mirrors, meaning they have to look at those mirrors and see how the women were able to transform something that is bad to something that is good. So too, the Kohanim, when they come in to the temple, since the Kohanim bring sacrifices, which those sacrifices are atonement for the people for the sins they did against Hashem, then the Kohanim have to help transform something that was a disservice, a sin, to something that's a service to Hashem, that's repentance. Therefore, the Kohanim have to wash their hands from the Kior to remember that. And Hashem His work should help that we should all be able to turn our evil inclination to service for Hashem, then we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'imheru b'yomeinu, Amen.